blessings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power.
Welcome to The Well. My name is Emily, and I'm excited to welcome you online this morning. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to worship with us. No matter where you're from, no matter how you're watching us today, we're really excited that you're here. Let us know who you are and where you're watching from in the comments. Today, we're continuing our series on what happened after Easter, after Jesus rose from the dead, and we're talking about more people that he appeared to. Today's story focuses on his disciple Thomas. And Thomas kind of gets a bad rap. He's known as Doubting Thomas. But I think when we look at his story, we might see ourselves there. We might be people who have lots of doubts and questions about who Jesus is or what he's done and how his life intersects with ours. So you're invited today to step into that story, maybe to see yourself there, to bring all your doubts and your questions and just offer them to Jesus and see how he speaks to you in those doubts and questions. Today we're changing things up a little bit, and instead of going straight into singing, we're going to have a children's moment. Lori Kripal is our children's minister at our church, and she's going to join us here in just a second and bring a message for our families. So make sure your family is gathered around for that, and then we'll sing again together in a few minutes. Before we do all that, though, let's pray together. God, we thank you for joining us this morning. And even though we're still apart, God, I just pray that you would, by your presence, bring us together. And God, I pray that everything we do in this worship service would bring glory and honor to your name. God, that we might this morning bring our doubts and our questions to you and offer them to you, God, and that you might meet us with truth about who you are and how much you love us, God, and about how you want us to live. God, we're so grateful for the ways that you're bringing us together during this time. God, the ways that you're keeping us together with one another, but also with you. It's in your great name we pray. Amen. Now let's join with Lori as she brings a message for our families.
Hey guys, it's Miss Lori. Welcome to Children's Time. I brought my family with me to help me out today. We have Kaylee,
hi,
Maddie, and John.
Hi.
And our family today is going to talk about a way that your family can pray together. We're going to use the technique that we use sometimes in Children's Church and Well Junior, and that is how to use your hand in prayer. So we're going to start with the thumb. The thumb today we're going to assign to family and friends. Those are the people closest to us. And our thumb is closest to us. So that can help us remember to pray for those people. Probably a lot of those people you don't get to see right now. That doesn't mean that we still can't be connected to them through prayer. We can pray for comfort, especially for the people who are doing this isolation thing alone. We can pray for patience for families. I know ours could use a little bit of that. We can pray for people to feel that God's presence is with them during this time. Next, we're going to talk about the pointer finger.
Yes. We can use our pointer finger to pray for people who point us in the right direction, like teachers, doctors, and preachers. They help us educate and keep us safe. We can pray for them by asking God to give them wisdom and pray that we can support them too.
All right, great. Next, we have the tallest finger. And Maddie's going to tell us how we can use that to pray.
So our tallest finger can be used to pray for our leaders in our government, which are the president, the governor, the mayor, and others who are making decisions for us right now. We pray that God gives them wisdom and guidance during this time of quarantine.
Very nice. John is going to tell us about how you can use your ring finger in prayer.
The ring finger can be used to pray for those that are sick. It is our weakest finger, so it can help us remember those who are sick or are in pain. Pray for people who are affected by this virus, either by having it or not being able to be with someone because of it. Pray for people suffering who are out of work. Pray for comfort and healing for them.
All right, and our last finger is the pinky finger. That is the finger that is furthest away from us. So when we hold our hand up, we can think of all the people to pray for before we pray for our own needs. This reminds us to pray for ourselves because it's very important to pray for ourselves also. And sometimes I know for me, it could feel selfish or you think maybe God already knows the thoughts in your head. But it's really important to verbalize those and to speak those out loud to God, whether you say them, whether you write them down, but to pray for yourself and your own needs during this time too. Our church has lots of ways that we can pray for you. If your family does have prayer requests, you can send those in to either John or Ben. There's an email address that they've got set up for that, or you can drop a message to one of the church pages about what you need prayer for and somebody will contact you. So maybe this week your family can sit down, whether you want to trace your hand out and you can write the prayer request or just hold your hand up and go through those. I'll include a picture in the comments about what ours looks like, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Time in our service, we'd love to encourage you to bring an offering to God. If you're a person who considers the well your home or First United Methodist Church your home, this is your opportunity to give a gift back to God. You guys have been so generous in doing this already, but we want to remind you that you can give your gifts online through our website, or you can mail in your gifts to P.O. Box 375 in Long Beach, Mississippi. The zip code is 39560. We know that financial gifts are one way that you can give to our church and to our ministry. But another way is through your time. And this morning, we just want to take a moment and especially thank Piper Witsit, who has been serving in our well worship team for the past couple of years. Piper is a graduating senior from Long Beach High School, but she and her family are getting ready to move to Colorado, where she's going to attend college there. So we just wanted this morning to take a minute and to say thank you to Piper for all of the hours of practice and the Sunday mornings that you put in with us leading worship. We're so thankful for what you've done already. I'm not sure if Piper's on Facebook, but if you want to leave messages for her here below in the comments, we'll be sure that she gets those. Now I'm going to say a prayer not only for our offering, but just a prayer blessing over her as she leaves us and goes out on a great big new adventure. Will you guys pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this morning, God, for the people that you bring into our lives, and God, for the ways that you've blessed us with gifts and talents and resources that we can use to further your kingdom here on earth. And God, this morning, I just pray a blessing over the offerings that we bring to you, God, but also pray a blessing over Piper and her family as they get ready to move across the country and embark on a new adventure. God, I just pray that your spirit would go with them. God, that you would remind them that your presence is always there. God, that they might be walking along a path that leads them closer to you and brings other people to you because of the way that they live and the way that they love. God, we're so grateful for this person that you brought in to minister to us during this time. And we just pray that you would continue to bless her as she goes. And God, I just pray that we would look around for the gifts and the talents that we have. God, that we might offer them to you, that you might do great big things through those gifts and talents too. We're so grateful for Jesus and the way that he selflessly gave himself for us. And it's in his name that we pray today. Amen.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today we're going to look at a story from the New Testament, right after the resurrection of Jesus, a story about a man named Thomas. Now, first I want to ask you a question, and that question is, have you ever sort of been preparing for or waiting for a big moment only to find out like you totally missed it? Like maybe it was something you were waiting on and then it came and it went and you were left scratching your head like, how did I miss it? I'm reminded of a news story a couple of years ago. I believe it was back maybe late 2017. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. They were going to implode the Georgia Dome, and the Weather Channel had set up a camera with this perfect angle. Like it was the direct view of the implosion of the Georgia Dome. And just about the time the very first stick of dynamite or whatever it was they were using, the first one went off, and then there was going to be a series of explosions after that that would cause the building to come down, and they were going to catch it in this shot, and it was going to be amazing. And about that time, a MARTA bus, a public transit bus, drives up, stops at a red light, presumably, and completely blocks the shot. Now, I would have shown you the video. I mean, we have figured out this technology thing, and I would love to show it to you. But there's a lot of bleeping in the video. You guys have some really creative imaginations, and I didn't want to cause any one of you to stumble. But it's a really funny moment of everything's ready, and then all of a sudden, it just missed it. Thomas is one of those guys. You see, if you were with us last week, we were in this room with the disciples, and the two guys who had been on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, who had met Jesus, saw him, knew he was real, they came back to tell the disciples in that room, and they're sort of unloading, and Jesus shows up and says to them, "Peace be with you." And that's kind of where we camped out last week. Today, we pick up at the end of that story. Thomas wasn't there that night. He missed it. Just like the bus that showed up and blocked that incredible shot. Jesus shows up to the disciples, and who knows where Thomas was, but he wasn't there. But the good news is Thomas shows up in this passage today. So if you got your Bibles, you want to join with us, I would encourage you to do that or take a look, keep watching the screen here, and you'll see the scripture. We'll be in John chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them, thank goodness. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So what a story this is, okay? Again, Thomas missed the big moment when Jesus shows up right there with them, offers them up a blessing of peace, and Thomas is gone. And then here we are 8 days later. Thomas has gotten word from the disciples. They said, "Dude, you missed it. You're not going to believe it, but he's alive. He really was here, and he stood among us." And Thomas says, "I don't believe it. I can't believe it. Until I see for myself and I touch his hands." He says, "I want to put my fingers in the holes," that's just kind of weird for me. But hey, I'm the same way. Like, I need to see it to believe it. Now, Thomas, as the scripture tells us, was nicknamed the twin. Now, this is probably pretty common for anyone who had a twin brother or twin sister that they would be identified as twin. They went together, right? But no longer do we give him the name twin. We call him Doubting Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because he declared in that moment that he would not believe until he saw. And while I think sometimes he gets a bad rap, many of us, let's be honest, in the same situation, given the same circumstances, would have probably said the same exact thing. I'm going to have to see it for myself. I need to see the wounds in his hands. I'm going to need to know that it really is him before I believe that this guy who we followed for so long, who I watched and knew was dead. They put him in a tomb. He was gone. And now you expect me to believe that he is alive and he's walking around here and he's eating fish with you. That's hard to buy. I'm not sure that I follow that. Doubting Thomas really is not as bad a guy sometimes as we make him out to be. I mean, think about it. If you were in that situation, would you not as well have asked the question, I just don't know that I can track with it. I think I'm going to need some help to fully trust and to fully believe. I want to take a look, sort of break this down a little bit, and then walk away maybe with some handles on what we do in light of this story with Thomas. So the first thing that I want us to take note in is this, that when Jesus shows up with them again, now this is 8 days after Thomas had made his declaration. And let me just say, before we point all our fingers at Thomas for saying, I need to see this, I wonder, did Thomas really say, well, Jesus is going to have to do this before I can believe? Or was he just being honest with himself? Was he simply saying, I'm having a hard time here. I really, for me, I need to see it. If I could just see it, then I might believe. I think how we interpret that kind of has a little bit to do with the way in which we think about Thomas, not so much in how we declare him either a good guy or a bad guy, but I think it's important for us to understand for ourselves. I'm not so sure that doubt is all that bad when it comes to faith. You see, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, I believe that doubt could potentially propel us into really big faith. And so doubt is not necessarily the enemy. Chasing after an understanding and the truth really might actually lead us to it. And so Thomas has this moment where he is very honest and open about his doubt. He's very honest and open and comes to grips with, if I'm going to believe that he really is alive, I really am going to need to have some kind of evidence. I'm going to need something to touch, something to feel. Like, that would really help solidify it for me. We continue to read in that story that Jesus shows up. And I think what's most beautiful about this, and if you didn't get a chance to watch with us last week, I would encourage you to scroll down a little ways and check out that video where we talked about Jesus issuing this declaration of peace over the disciples. This declaration of completion and healing and peace that comes when only the crucifixion is finished and the resurrection is accomplished. Jesus says, peace be with you. Here we are 8 days later, and Jesus shows up again, and the first thing he says to the group in that room is, peace be with you. My peace over you. And then immediately, he turns his attention to Thomas. He turns his attention to Thomas, and I don't know if we're getting the Cliff Notes version from John, but it's almost, as we read it, it's almost as if Jesus doesn't even ask Thomas, like, where were you last time? He just looks at him square on and says, hey, come here. I want you to put your fingers right here. And I want you to put your hands in my side. I want to prove to you. I want you to come to grips with the reality that I am exactly who I said I am. That this body that you see really is the same one that was buried and the same one that has risen. That I am who I say I am. I think that's an incredible gift that Jesus gives to Thomas. And so after this kind of supernatural moment, I can't imagine what it would have been like for Thomas or for the other disciples, even as they had begun to come to grips with the resurrected Christ, what it would have looked like in that moment to see the light bulb go off for Thomas as he really does embrace this risen Lord Jesus, complete with the marks of our sin and brokenness still in his hands, still in his side. And Thomas was able to touch that and come to grips with it. Man, what a moment that would have been. And Thomas responds. He responds and he says, my Lord and my God. Hey, there's a lot, I believe, in those two titles that Thomas gives to Jesus. Thomas had been following Jesus for a long time now, but he looks at him, and the only words that come out when he has come to grips with this very real, crucified, buried, and risen Christ, his two words are, my Lord and my God. I may be taking a little bit of liberty here, but what I hear in that is Thomas saying, first and foremost, you reign and rule over everything. He recognizes the authority of Jesus, who has now defeated death, and is standing there with him, and he says, my Lord. In that, I believe there's this implied, my life is no longer my own, but it's yours. You are my Lord. I submit to you. I surrender to you. My life now is in your hands. And he says, my Lord and my God. I believe in that moment, he recognizes the divinity of Jesus. In other words, he recognized that Jesus really is the Son of God. That he really did step out of heaven and come and live on earth. And we have seen in Jesus the very face of God. My Lord and my God, you are with me. I give myself to you. And then Jesus looks at Thomas, and I love this part, because Jesus has an opportunity here to look at Thomas and say, you idiot, right? Why couldn't you just get a hold of it? And yet he gives some firm truth to Thomas, but in a most gracious way. He says, you believe because you got to see. He didn't condemn him. He didn't put him down, but he said, you had an opportunity that not everybody's going to get. You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe even though they will never get to put their fingers in the holes in my hands. But they will be blessed when they trust in me. Man, this is an incredible, incredible account of Jesus once again revealing himself to those who were following him. Thomas came to grips with his doubt, and Jesus met him there. I want to take a look at a couple of thoughts or principles, I would say, some things that we might be able to grab a hold of and wrestle with to maybe strengthen our own faith or to help someone else strengthen their faith. And so the first thing I would say, number one, is that we have to deal honestly and authentically with our doubt. Thomas was very open. I mean, there was no doubt. He said, I can't believe. I don't believe, I'm not going to believe until I have seen for myself. I think that we have to deal honestly with our doubt. We've got to own it. And I believe too that on the other side of that, not only do we have to own our own doubt, we've got to give space and grace for other people to deal with their doubts too. That if we're really going to be the church, if we're really going to be disciples of Jesus, we've got to find space to be honest with one another about what we believe and about what we are having a hard time believing. And I believe that God is incredibly gracious. Jesus will meet us at our doubt. And I believe that when we doubt and when we ask questions, God is able to take that and build incredible faith. But we've got to be honest with our doubts. And I think that leads me to another point, is that for some of us, some of our doubts are not actually based in things we don't understand, that are truth that we don't grab a hold of, but rather some of our doubts are based on myths that really aren't even true to start with. Let me tell you, for example, like even in the Christian world, we have sayings that we give, and I say we because I've been guilty of this before myself, but we sometimes say things that sound really good, but they really just aren't true. And they can really trip up someone who's struggling to learn to trust in Christ. I've done a lot of funerals in my day, and man, what do you say to someone who is deep in grief? Well, I've heard some things that you don't say, right? I've heard people say, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle, or, you know, the Lord needed them more than you did, and so he took them from you. Like, what? Where is that even based out of? Thoughts like that and phrases like that can cause people to really struggle with what they know and understand about who God is. And the reality is, oftentimes, those sayings that we use, we're trying to bring comfort, but the reality is they're not true. And so if we're going to deal honestly with our doubts, let's first decide what is it that we're doubting. Is what we're doubting may not be true to start with. You may doubt that God can love me if God's going to take her from me. Well, is that really how it works? We have to deal honestly with our doubt. Know what the origin of our doubt is. And I believe when we come to grips with that, then we can offer it up to Jesus. And I believe that just like Thomas, he will meet us where we are. We may not actually get physical hands to put our fingers into, but I believe that God is big enough to handle our doubt and address it where we are, which brings me to my next point. that God is bigger than your doubt. I do not believe that if you don't have some question about what you believe about God, then perhaps you don't have a very deep faith at all. If everything makes sense to you and it's all wrapped up in a perfect box and it all makes sense, I hate to break it to you, but you're probably not walking incredibly deep in your relationship with God. And I hate to say that, but I also want you to know that it's okay to struggle and to wrestle. If we're going to truly, honestly know Jesus in a deep and abiding way, some of the things that he says of us, says to us, and some of the things he requires of us ought to cause us to struggle and say, are you sure that's what you want from me? Are you sure that's what you want for me? God is bigger than your doubts. Your doubts don't scare him. They don't run him away. And here's the other thing too. Your questions and your doubts about God doesn't take away from the truth about who God is. I probably shouldn't even say this, but I crack up at, let me just apologize if I offend you ahead of time, but I think the earth is round. It's no secret. I think the earth is round. I'm confident of that. There are some people that would disagree and say that the earth is flat. Now, what I think about the earth and what you think about the earth, or whoever may think the earth is flat, doesn't change the reality of what truth is. It either is round or it isn't. Now, your thoughts about that doesn't change reality. My questions and my thoughts about God doesn't change who God is. My thoughts about truth doesn't change truth. You know, when I was doing youth ministry, feels like 100 years ago, I remember I would tell our students, I would say, hey, ask all the questions you want. Like, if God really is true, like if Jesus is who he said he is, then you can ask all the questions. And if you're headed down a path toward truth, you're going to land on him anyway. So ask away. It can only help solidify and strengthen your faith. So God is bigger than your doubts. They don't scare him. They don't drive him away. They might actually open doors to discovering the truth about who he is. So to kind of wrap things up, one of the things that stuck out to me that I want to point out and I want us to kind of look at here at the end is that Thomas, when he encounters Jesus, when he sees Jesus, he believes. It's in this moment that he sees Jesus. Now, did Thomas fully understand everything about Jesus? Did he have all his questions answered? Probably not. But it was in this encounter with the risen Lord Jesus that everything changed. My Lord and my God. I want to read to you a quote from Nona Jones. She's a pastor that was speaking at a conference that we listened to online the other day. Faith, she says, faith is not what you do when you understand what God is doing. Faith is what you have when you don't understand, but you still obey. The 12 disciples placed their faith in who they knew Jesus was, even when they didn't understand what he said. We can trust Jesus even when we don't fully understand what he's up to in our lives in each and every moment. But we can lean our lives into him. And so the best way for us to do that is to be honest about our questions and our doubts. To come to grips with the reality, and not only to be honest about our doubts, but to give people around us space and grace to be able to deal with theirs. And then also remembering and realizing that God is way bigger than my questions or my doubts. And that just by declaring and coming to grips with my doubt, that it might be in that moment that this big God might actually choose to reveal himself to me and to you. That we might learn to love him and trust him even more. Normally at the end of the services that we've been doing, we just kind of close out and head on our way. But I want to invite you to sing one more song with us. This song is called Bigger Than I Thought. And there's actually a line in there that says, my doubts and my fears don't scare you. And it's just a declaration that God is so big, that his plans for us, his desire for us is so much bigger than we could ever think or imagine or understand. And so we need to cast all our cares on him and just trust. John uses the word believe, but it's way more than just a knowledge thing. It's a leaning of our life into who God is and what Jesus wants to do in and through us. So would you sing with us? Would you join with us as we declare this together? God is bigger than we ever thought. And I pray that He opens your heart and your mind and your level of faith to be able to love Him more as you see Him for who He is.
Speak to me when the silence stills my voice. You understand me. You understand me. Come to me in the valley of unknowns. You understand me. You understand me. You understand me, God. You understand me. So I throw all my cares before you. My doubts and fears don't scare you. You're big.
I will.
Hey, thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that you'll join with us again next week. And just as a reminder, if there's anything we can do to serve you, to help you walk your journey, please reach out. Feel free to send us a message here on Facebook, or you can even call our office during the week, 8 to noon, and to get in touch with a pastor. We would love to walk with you. We'd love to serve you. And we look forward to worshiping again with you in person real soon. Take care. God bless you. Have a great day.